Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. We are grateful to have Ocusoft as a sponsor of our show. Since 1986, Ocusoft has served the community with a unique selection of proprietary brands, from dry eye care and protection with Retain line of artificial tears to eyelid hygiene with Ocusoft Lid Scrub Eyelid Cleansers essential for maintaining healthy eyes. Zoria Skincare from Ocusoft offers revolutionary products for people with sensitive skin and eyes. Thank you to Ocusoft for being the number one doctor-recommended brand of eyelid cleansers and providing patients and doctors with products and supplies to continue to keep our eyes healthy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show. I am super excited, Ken, because I honestly never thought you would say yes to being on the show. So thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And so this is Dr. Ken Lawson. He's an optometrist, a great friend of mine. The reason I thought he might never say yes is because as much as he doesn't act like it, he's actually really shy.
True.
So we are complete opposites in many ways, but I'm going to let Ken tell you more about himself. So Ken, start with who you are, where you live, what you do, whatever you want to get into, but tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, thanks, April, for having me. You know you're a dear friend. I'm happy to be here. So I grew up in a very rural part of Florida. I'm a fourth-generation Floridian. I went to school in Florida,
I'm
pro-Florida.
I love it.
Proud to be here. As far as my academic career, I ended up going to optometry school. I think optometry is the greatest profession there is.
Amen.
Did a residency in ocular disease and treatment down at Braverman Eye Center. Came back to my hometown where all of my 13 aunts and uncles lined up first for eye care. That was, of course, complimentary because they're part of your family tree. And was happy to help them. Went on from there to begin to work a little bit in regulatory optometry, meaning I got involved with Florida Medicaid and ACA as an expert witness and a Medicaid fraud expert.
Right.
Went on from there to get involved with reviewing Medicare records, both for quality of care, utilization, potential fraud or abuse. Went on from there to become a utilization management person where you look at codes for care that optometry or ophthalmology might provide that get a little overutilized and we pay out a little too much money.
Yep.
And then went on from there to be the medical director for a couple of different plans.
So I like to say that you are an optometrist, but also an entrepreneur, as many of us are. And you've dabbled in lots of businesses. Anything else that you love to do and makes really defines who Ken Lawson is?
So I love French antiques from the Louis XIV, XV, and XVI era.
There's
a lot of really interesting history if you go back to Louis XIII and move forward. One interesting tidbit that a lot of people aren't aware of is by the time Napoleon III came along, late in the 1800s, he traveled to New York and pretty much copied New York. So when you go to Paris now, you're kind of seeing what New York looked like in that era. And so I just think it's really culturally rich and diverse. And to be honest, as you can probably attest to, have to have things that get your mind off the eyeball every now and then.
Oh, I love that. What a great lesson. Hey, so you guys may not know this, but Ken's wife, Dr. Jamie Lawson, is equally amazing, and I think she enjoys all of those activities as well. Does she like to go to Paris?
First of all, she's the better, nicer Dr. Lawson,
yes.
So I take second place. But to April's point, my wife I call a traveler because she loves to travel, and I'm called a vacationer. Because I will go somewhere, but I don't want to walk 40,000 steps a day. And that's her entry level for how much sightseeing you have to do. So yes, she loves it.
It's a good thing you don't wear a watch because you can't track your steps, and she'll just be like, honey, we didn't go that far. Come on.
I know. She has an agenda for every moment of the day from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed.
So here's what we'll do. We'll travel together, and I will do the walking with Jamie.
Beautiful. Sign me up.
That sounds great. David will relax with you.
I like that. I like that.
So let's go back to some of our early days together. How did we meet?
So we met in a kind of an interesting way.
Okay.
We were both trying to come on the FOA board, and I had waited a year to come on, and I had sort of said to the folks that had asked me to come on, look, if I'm going to go, I need to go now. You were obviously in line to come on, and everybody wanted you on there, and thank you for being on there. It was definitely a lot for you to be on that board. And so we kind of got into a little bit of a brokering of who got to go on first. And I was delighted when you came on, but I think it took about 4 years for you to decide I was okay after that happened.
And do you remember how I said that you were okay?
You finally said, after meeting Jamie and measuring her up, that she was pretty good, that if she had chosen me, I had to be okay to be friends with you.
True story. But here's the deal, Ken. What I've learned over the years is that you are the most loyal, kind person out there, and I'm sorry to destroy your reputation if you wanted to be known as something else, but we just appreciate you, so I'm going to say it right now. But let's get back to Florida.
Okay.
All right, so tell us about Florida. You're Florida native, fourth generation, your kids are fifth. You love Florida. Tell us about Florida, past, present, future.
Perfect. Thank you. And by the way, thank you for all you've done for optometry. When I grew up, Bradenton was a very slow town. A lot of dirt roads, difficult to travel, as a matter of fact, across the state, because at best you would have a two-lane road.
Yeah.
And it's all by automobile, so you're not in the private flight era of time.
Wow.
There were a lot of industries early on in my area where they barged fruit or watermelon or pumpkins down the river to then be picked up by boat and then sent out from there. So a lot of farming, not a lot of medical care. In fact, fast forward, the practice I bought later was the first ophthalmology practice in Bradenton, and that was in the 60s.
Oh, my.
So it was a long time before we got a medical eye provider.
Wow.
And then what I saw happen as we moved to the present is it was just an explosion of development. So it seemed like everybody figured out that Florida was a great place.
Yes.
They all wanted to come here. April, initially, you know, Florida was a beach town where people visited, but they didn't want to really live there because of the heat. And I think the game changer was air conditioning.
So you had air conditioning as a kid?
We finally got air conditioning. We begged my father to put in an air conditioner. Back then, it was a window unit. He decided to put it in his bedroom. So his bedroom was a refrigerator, and the rest of the house was an incinerator. But then we got a second air conditioner, and then it got pretty good. And then I think what we saw is a lot more folks willing to stay here year-round and kind of deal with the heat. And then it just kept booming from there. It almost grew and outpaced where infrastructure could kind of keep up with it.
And so today, think of the past, Bradenton was a smaller town, and probably all of Florida. Wouldn't you say most? I mean, Florida's so, is the word diverse? Is the word different everywhere you go? That's one of the things I think is incredible. I tell my friends, you can go any town in Florida, and it's going to be completely different than the one you were just in. So some of the similarities, some of the same things all over Florida, but what took Bradenton from the past being kind of a smaller growing town, present, you would say, is booming, still growing?
Yes. So Tropicana was hubbed out of Florida.
Okay.
And Tropicana had a pretty good orange production unit there. I think for all of Florida, as you said, it started out as coastal communities, and then it started to build more into central Florida. And then as far as now, like today, it's really diverse, not only in the people that are there and the jobs that are there, but you know, we have an Amazon facility located close by.
Wow.
other types of businesses have really settled in, mainly because Florida not having the state tax attracted a lot of businesses. And so I think that pushed it. And then the most recent development that everybody saw was COVID, because Florida, for the most part, stayed open.
Wow.
So a lot of folks came into Florida.
And didn't leave.
Decided it was a good place to stay.
With their air conditioning. So what about the future? What do you see as the future for Florida? And I think, did you mention to everybody the other things that you do for us, even optometry, but you do politically for Florida?
So I am the legislative chair for the Florida Optometric Association. I'm very passionate about it. Optometry as a profession has to have legislative designation for what we can do and what we can't, whereas medicine just gets given all of medicine and then their board decides how to handle it. And early on, I was part of some skirmishes that occurred over what kind of care we could provide or what kind of title we could use or who we had to use for even our own staff. And so to keep the business side of it going and taking good care of patients, I've enjoyed defending the profession and seeing it expand. I passed a scope expansion bill with the Florida Optometric Association in 2013. We passed some other legislation in 2015.
But it's given you the ability to learn a lot more about Florida and politics and what's happening overall. So I don't know how much you want to talk about that in general before we dive into more in optometry. But what has it taught you, and what are some lessons and things you would say? What is the future for Florida?
I think the future is really bright. I think what most Floridians don't really realize is, and I make this as a joke, that when the Florida legislature is in session, no one's property, money, or future is definite, right?
Wow.
So you have to stay engaged.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of people that don't like some part of politics, or they don't like the way some of the political things happen. But I just have always treated it with temperance and figured that I would rather be at the table than on the menu. So I'm going to stay engaged and stay on the high road. You've done a really good job of that. I mean, with all your diplomacy, you've never gotten upset or acted out. Because, as you know, once you get upset or angry or you say things reactionarily, you're not going to be able to take them back.
Nope, it's over.
So you're better off to just listen and try to influence in a positive way. And I think if more people in Florida looked at it like that, that you need to influence in a positive way, it would make the process better.
86% of people with dry eye cases are MGD related, but only 16% of the people, I guess, seek treatment. What are their options?
I think what happens is, in my experience, again, 30 years of doing this, is that patients just try to self-medicate. And so then you go into, what is another option that we have that we can do in office for patients to alleviate their symptoms and clear this problem? And that's where Tixali comes into play.
So tell us about it.
Yeah, what's wonderful about it is an FDA-cleared device that allows this thermomechanical action to actually go to the root cause of the problem, those meibomian glands, and be able to help patients to go back to a normal secretion of oils, thereby helping them to have better eye comfort and alleviate their dry eye symptoms.
I think we just heard a life lesson, everybody. That could be taken into many
to
different
any
parts.
Any realm.
Exactly.
To any realm. And then as far as optometry goes,
yes,
I'm really happy that optometry has developed the way it has. Rural Florida is still very deficient in eye health care providers, and optometrists are there.
Yeah.
So I think as their role increases in what they can provide, we're going to see better coverage. And you know, because you deal with lots of health care products, medication, et cetera, if you can get people treated early, the outcome's always better.
Absolutely.
And where I grew up, it was almost a little bit of a privilege to go to the doctor. What I'd like to see is that any county you live in Florida, you can get to the doctor and it's not a process, and you certainly don't have to use the emergency room as your primary care doctor.
I was in the same boat, Ken. I remember I had asthma as a child, and I would, every time I got sick, I would have a massive asthma emergency, and there were basically, our family, what we did is we would wait until the very last minute, and my dad counted on me to say, and my mom, I can't do it. I'm not going to make it. And at that point, we would go pay, which was, you're not going to believe this, the $20 to the doctor to see April, because I was the only one in the family that ever needed to see somebody. So, yeah, I mean, people don't realize Florida sounds like it's this big tourist area. Everybody goes to the beach. It's all that. But there's a lot of need.
A lot of need. And unfortunately, a lot of the lower income folks, which is for the most part where I began, they just kind of give up on medical care. And so by the time they do get to the doctor, the process is very far down the road, and they either don't end up with a good outcome or it costs the system more money.
So you're doing and helping us, we're all actually working together to create a way to better be able to care for those patients is the reason we're bringing this up, right?
Right. Every study that's ever been done says, if you want to look at the return on your investment in terms of the provision of health care, or if you want to look at the outcomes for, let's say, diabetics or patients with macular degeneration or glaucoma, it's much better if you can get them to a doctor sooner,
right?
And you treat them preemptively, as opposed to you get to them at the end of the disease process and now they're blind or their quality of life's never going to be as good.
So you bought your practice, and we don't have to name a time if you don't want to. Everybody knows David and I bought our private practice from another doctor in 2002. Let's just call it, I don't know.
1994.
There you go. 1994. What was it like in the beginning? And then how did things progress, and where are you today?
So it was very interesting. We bought an ophthalmology practice, and they only had 60 frames in the optical.
Wow.
So it was 15 kids, 15 men's, 15 women's, and 15 of whatever you want to call it. So we tried to immediately expand our eyewear selection. And, you know, when we worked in the community, what we found was that people really, really appreciated our care and our service. Yep. And they liked the fact that we took time. And to us, 3 or 4 minutes may not seem like a lot, but at the end of the exam, to even spend 3 to 5 minutes going over everything with the patient, the word of mouth really carried.
Yes.
That you were getting, you know, more time with the doctor, and people really started to come in. And so we grew. And when we got to the point where both Jamie and I were kind of maxed out and booked out for quite a while, we then moved on and actually added another doctor who's now taken over the practice, and I want to see my legacy with her continue. So we're real happy.
Yes, I love that. So your community got not just one doctor, but two when you guys joined.
Yes, because Jamie was a Florida transplant, but part of the package deal was she had to come back to Bradenton. And patients love her. She's fabulous. She spends even more time with them than I do, and she's just very elegant. And as you know, April, if you really talk to patients, there's a lot of patients that will say, I would like to see a female doctor. And then there's some patients that say, I want to see a male doctor. So if in your practice you have both, it's going to make a very comfortable environment for the patients to pick.
Absolutely. All right. So a couple key questions I always ask everybody. One of them, what is something that you can point to in your childhood or past, or even a mentor that you had, that helped to create the Ken Lawson we see today?
I would say along the way, there were lots and lots of people that served to help build my Ken Lawson 10.0. Yep. The FOA board, obviously you, different people. What you learn to do as you go through life is you want to try to always make people look better, not worse, and try to use their knowledge or their specific experience to better yours.
Yep.
So I think early on, I was a bit naive to a lot of things. Like, for example, Dr. Howard Braverman taught me, don't be afraid to bill for what you provide. I think that's a problem, that people undervalue their service.
Yep.
He also taught me to be engaged with the profession. And that part of that engagement involves some amount of volunteerism, so that in a perfect situation, everybody gives back some way to the humanity or their profession. And then as I moved forward, the other thing my wife taught me, which initially I wasn't so good at, was to listen and try not to interrupt. Try to let people express their opinion, whether I agreed with it or not, before trying to communicate or act. And so I think those two forces kind of guided me, made
those
me better.
Those are awesome. I love that. Okay, so another question I always want to have an answer to. Well, let's ask it this way. The future, I say to people, what do you see as the next 5 years? So I'm going to make it broad for you. If you want to take it to what do you see the next 5 years for optometry, what do you see in the next 5 years for Ken Lawson and Jamie Lawson?
Sure. Okay, so optometry's got a bright future. It's clear that there's going to be a lot of people that need to have eye health care. And I know you've heard me say this. I feel like optometrists are the primary eye health care provider.
Yep.
I think that we've gotten a lot better at looking at the family tree of our patients for what that could mean for them. So, like, for example, my mother's mother had wet macular degeneration very early on. So I mother henned my mother a lot closer. I did things that, in my personal opinion, I felt could benefit her. For example, I had her on, you know, MacuHealth as a formula. I know there's debate over vitamins. I'm a big believer in vitamins. I'm a big believer in optometry's role in getting things to patients that could improve their odds of going against their genetics. Because I think there's genetic tendency, and then what you do to manipulate it to the good or to the bad gives you your outcome. So I think in terms of optometry's future, couldn't be better. I feel great about all the people that are going into the profession. And I really think the profession is just going to continue to expand and do more.
Amen. I love it.
And then as far as Florida goes, I'm very proud of it. Obviously, I know there's a lot of controversy over federal politics and Florida politics, but in my opinion, America is still the best place to live. You can knock it however you want, but I don't want to live anywhere else, and I'm tickled to death to stay right in Bradenton, Florida, all the way to the end of my time. So that's my outlook for myself.
And the stories you tell about your place, your house, all the creatures that live around you.
You definitely interact with Florida wildlife if you live in Florida. Growing up, it was the 3-inch flying cockroach, and as of late, it's everything from coyotes to alligators to you name it, but that's the way I like it.
Yep. All right, so last question. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Your advice to your younger self.
You could have done a lot better. That's what I would say. You could have done a lot better.
How? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I had a temper that I should have never had. I was too short with people. I kind of tell my daughter, men get better with age because...
Okay, baby.
all men are probably better than me, but I know I was like Yosemite Sam at age 20 and had to kind of work to get out of that. But I would say to my younger self, it's going to be fine. Just relax. Don't get upset about the little things that don't really matter. Yep. Stay focused on making your patients' lives better. The money will come. I mean, obviously, you want to be as entrepreneurial as you can in your life. But I would say calm down and don't be quite as excited.
That's good. You guys, I mean, I now you know why I wanted Ken to be on the podcast. He didn't tell as many jokes as he will if you go to dinner with him, but he's still a funny guy. And I would never know that that was your challenge as a younger self, a younger Ken Lawson, because you are so calm, cool, and collected. It must have been Jamie.
It must have been. She must have been Valium for me in the female form.
Ken, we appreciate you. David and
Thank
I just
you.
Want
I'm
you to
glad
know.
Glad to have a chance to chat.
Thank you.